Welcome to this presentation in Christian Basics. This particular presentation is exploring further in Lesson 2 about what the Bible says about God. The writer of the material that you're going to hear and read on the screen is Dr. Ed Ruhlses. He wrote it, and I'm David Fettes, the presenter of the material, and I'll be adding some thoughts of my own as we go through what Dr. Ruhlses has written. Question number one, what are some of the most important things we should believe about God? Well, among the most important truths about God are the following. There is only one true God. This one God is eternal, all-knowing, everywhere present, spiritual, invisible, all-powerful, wise, patient, compassionate, loving, just, holy, and unchanging in his being. He exists as three persons whom the Bible reveals as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three persons together form the Holy Trinity, the one true God. God created the world in the beginning as a perfect world, which he himself said was very good. He created a man and a woman in his own image and put them in charge of the earth and all creatures on the earth. He continues to maintain and sustain the world, but will eventually judge all people who have ever lived. In his mercy, God will grant everlasting life to all those who have repented of their sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. In his justice, God will destroy those who refuse to repent and refuse to put their trust in God and his Son Jesus. The Lord will then establish a new heaven and a new earth and will reign forever with his redeemed people, who will live in perfect and never-ending joy and peace. Many, many other things can be said about God. But when you think about God and when you're called upon to communicate about God to others, it's important to know how to say in just a few sentences what are the main things about God, who he is, his character, and what he has done. Question number two, can we fully understand everything the Bible teaches about God? No, because God is eternal, infinite, and triune, that is, three in one. There are many things we cannot fully understand about God or his ways. We should not expect to be able to understand everything about God with our human limitations and finite existence any more than animals can fully understand us as human beings. It's important, therefore, that we do not reject something which the Bible says simply because we can't understand it or don't like it. If we reject something which the Bible clearly teaches, we're making ourselves judges of the Bible rather than submitting our limited knowledge and understanding to the eternal truth of God's holy word. God's truth stands eternal and supreme, whether or not we can understand all of it. So, if you're reading the Bible and you're thinking about God and you say to yourself, I've got it all figured out, I understand everything. The fact is, you're probably way, way off. If God fits in that tiny space between your two ears, if you can take all the reality of God and think you've contained it in your little head, you are fooling yourself. God is much bigger even than what the Bible has to say about him. The Bible reveals the essential things about God that he wants us to know, and God himself is vastly beyond all of that. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and he is just beyond anything we could understand, and it's very good of him to communicate with us, to speak with us in the Bible, but we are fools if we think that we've got him all figured out. And we are equally foolish if we begin to judge the Bible, if we take what God has said to us and decide, oh, that can't be true. The fact of the matter is, there are some things that if we think they can't be true, we probably misunderstood it, and other things we may have understood it partly, and we're just wrong that it can't be true, simply because God's wisdom goes beyond our wisdom. Question number three. Why is it significant for us that there is only one true God? Why does it matter? Well, if there were more gods than the one true God, each God would be extremely limited by the existence and power and authority of the other gods. We would live in constant uncertainty concerning the power and authority of our God in relation to other gods. And we'd probably often wonder if the gods were jealous of one another or in conflict with one another, as people are. If there actually were many gods, it would be impossible for us to love and serve each one with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our loyalties would always be somewhat divided, and we could never find the peace and confidence and joy that we now have in knowing and serving the one and only true God. Some of you may be familiar with the old legends about the Greek gods, or the Norse gods, or the Roman gods and goddesses. You had these various gods and goddesses, and oftentimes they were manipulating things behind each other's backs and trying to pull tricks on each other and pull tricks on humanity, and they're squabbling, and meanwhile, the poor humans on earth don't know whether they're coming or going. They're keeping one god happy, and then all of a sudden another god comes along and ruins everything for them. Polytheism, the belief in many gods, is a very confusing thing, a very distressing thing to live with. By the way, it's also very bad for science. If you think that the universe was made by a squabbling committee, how are you ever going to look for patterns of order throughout the whole universe? And so belief in one true God is vital for our own personal and emotional well-being, and it's also vital for the intellectual pursuit of the patterns of the universe. It's not a universe if there's more than one God. Then you'd call it a multiverse. It would just be all sorts of strange things in chaos or squabbling of the various gods. But the fact is, one God made it all, and when we know Him, we come to understand many things about the world He made as well. Question 4. What would your life be like if there were no God? Well, in one sense, that's kind of a dumb question. If there were no true God, we wouldn't exist at all. So what would your life be like? You wouldn't have one. But just supposing we somehow existed and God did not, we'd have to depend completely on ourselves or on other human beings for everything. There'd be no way to find genuine forgiveness, no sure hope for the future, no divine power to bless, encourage, comfort, and strengthen us, no divine power to administer justice, and no one with divine love and compassion to be concerned about our present or future well-being. We'd be alone in the universe with nobody that cares. The ultimate power on earth would be found in the persons with the greatest wealth, prestige, or influence, and no one could contest their judgments, their decisions, their actions. There might possibly be some earthly authorities or powers who would encourage people to act justly and compassionately, but their powers would be very limited and their influence would be very temporary. Relatively few powerful dictators in history have been genuinely kind and benevolent. And that's putting it pretty mildly. Whenever humans come into great power and great influence, they usually are terrible rulers. Think of the recent dictators that we've had in the last century or two. They've been uniformly pretty horrible. So when humans get absolute power, they are deadly. And fortunately, none of them has stayed in power for more than, at most, a few decades. If there is no righteous and powerful judge, the evils of this world would never be set right. Life would have little meaning, and mankind would have little enduring hope. As the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, if there is no resurrection of the dead, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So if there's no God and no eternal life, do whatever you can get away with. Have a blast while you last. And most of us really won't have much of a blast because we'll be too busy destroying each other in our selfish pursuit of our own ends. Life without God, again and again, has been devastating. We've got evidence of that. Take the Soviet Union, or China, or Cambodia in the last century, when their governments were officially atheistic and did as they pleased. Tens and even hundreds of millions of people slaughtered because of the power of humans who did not look to the justice and reign of God to which they're responsible to recognize human rights. Fifth, what would your life be like if there was a God but you did not know Him personally? Regrettably, there are millions and millions of people who do not know the true God. Now, some of these people live reasonably comfortable lives as they focus on their earthly activities and do not even try to deal with guilt, sin, or moral failure, and do not believe in or bother with the possibility of life after death. As far as they're concerned, this life is all there is. Some of those who believe this way do demonstrate a significant concern about others and seek to help them make the most of their earthly life. Others focus on getting everything they can for themselves without bothering at all about others. Whether they're kind or selfish, however, they miss the greatest blessings possible for us on this earth, knowing the love and mercy and grace of God. They totally cut themselves off from the incredible eternal blessings which are promised to those who know and love and trust God as He has revealed Himself to us in the Bible and in His Son, Jesus Christ. There's an old statement of faith where the first question and answer says, "What is the chief end of man?" And the answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's the point of being human. At the end of the Bible book of Ecclesiastes, it says, "Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man." This is what it is to be human, is to know God, to reverence Him, and to follow His guidance. If you don't know God, you just miss the whole point of your existence. And if you know God, if you honor Him, if you delight in Him, then you are truly fulfilling your purpose in life, and you're going to have the joy that comes with that. Question 6. Why is it wrong to make idols or images of God? Well, because God says not to. That's the short answer. God has strongly and repeatedly commanded us in the Bible not to make images or idols of Himself. There is no way in which any image or idol can even begin to meaningfully represent the eternal, almighty, infinite, compassionate Creator and Judge of our world. Every image or idol, no matter how big or artistic or expensive, would belittle and misrepresent God, the Eternal Spirit. Besides, if someone was able to make a beautiful idol of some kind, many people would soon be worshiping the idol rather than the God which the idol supposedly represented. Throughout history, people have been led astray by their idols and images. God has never been glorified or honored by any human efforts to represent Him with a physical image. As Jesus Himself said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. God wants us to know Him as He has revealed Himself in His Word, not by the pictures we dream up or the images that we form of Him. God wants us to trust Him and His great mystery and then listen to Him as He speaks to us and not try to reinvent a God to suit our own imagination or form a God that we can manipulate and control. Question 7. What are some of the things people can learn about God if they do not have a Bible or someone to teach them? Well, they're not stuck knowing absolutely nothing. God has revealed Himself in history through His work of creation, through miracles, through changing the lives of those who trusted in Him, and through His divine intervention at various points throughout history. Even without the Bible or a teacher, people can know from the created world that God is real, mighty, wise, orderly, and glorious. You look at the stars and the galaxies and you know that whoever made that vastness must be unimaginably great. When you study the patterns of creation and the amazing order and design, you say, wow, He must be wise and orderly. When you see the beauty of some of the splendid things God has made, you say, whoever made that has got to be glorious. We can know from the growth of crops, the taste of food, and the enjoyment of other pleasures that God is generous and delightful. People can know from their own conscience that God is righteous because their conscience can sense that right and wrong are defined by someone outside ourselves. We do something that's wrong, and something in us tells us it's wrong, even though we chose to do it. And that's telling us that something outside ourselves is presenting us with a standard of right and wrong. Our sense of right and wrong is a clue to the reality of God's righteousness. Another thing, by seeing that all people die and that all governments eventually fail, people can see that God is just and punishes sinful humanity with death. It is obvious that the human race lives under the sentence of death. We all die. And that tells us something about God, that He is just and that He punishes sinful humanity. People can know from hearing about miracles or observing transformed Christians that God is supernaturally active among people still today. And you can learn all of this without actually having read the Bible or having someone taught you a great deal about the Bible. It's true, of course, that many people do not acknowledge God or praise Him, even though they see God's handiwork in creation or taste God's goodness in daily blessings or sense God's righteousness through the voice of conscience or observe God's just wrath in the reality of death. However, even when people suppress their knowledge of God, those who do so are without excuse, as Romans 1 verse 19 says. So, the Bible is valuable. It reveals a great deal. We need it. But there are some things, in fact, some very important things that God shows to us even apart from the Bible. And we are without excuse if we pretend that there is no God and that we know nothing about Him. The fact is, even in many civilizations that had many gods and goddesses, a great many of them believed in one creator God, one great God who was beyond all those lesser gods and goddesses they talked about. Even such civilizations knew that there is one real, true creator. Number 8, what can you learn about God from the Bible that you can't learn in any other way? The Bible teaches us many spiritual truths that cannot be taught through nature or natural events. For example, the Bible teaches us about the love and righteousness and holiness of God, as well as other attributes of God. It also teaches us about right and wrong, obedience and disobedience, punishment, justice, forgiveness, compassion, hope, heaven, hell. It teaches us these things. Now, apart from the Bible, we can know certain things about right and wrong because God impresses it on our conscience or we learn about it from others. We can learn certain things, but even what we can know apart from the Bible comes in much clearer focus in the Bible. And, of course, there are many things the Bible teaches us that we couldn't have guessed or come up with apart from the Bible. The Bible clearly teaches about Jesus, the way of salvation through Christ alone, and the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible also describes the kind of life that honors God and teaches us what displeases or dishonors Him. Conscience can tell us a lot, but because we're sinners, our conscience can get distorted, and we need the Bible to tell us the real deal about right and wrong. In the Bible, we read stories that encourage us, warn us, inform us, and enable us to better understand the ways of God in this world and in the lives of His people. If we just look at events, we can learn some things, but when we hear God's perspective on events, as God describes those stories in the Bible, then we understand them much better. The Bible teaches many other things that we do not learn just by observing nature or history. Things about holiness, mercy, prayer, personal sacrifice, dedication, family, marriage, government, giving, witnessing, and other parts of daily life. So again, there are some things we can learn, even apart from the Bible, if we're paying attention. But the Bible makes even those things much more clear, much more detailed, and it shows us many, many things we never could have come up with on our own. Question 9. If you had only 20 minutes to teach someone about God, what are the things that you would talk about? That's quite a question, isn't it? Well, your answer may depend to some extent on a person's age, background, education, interests, and circumstances. However, there are certain basic or fundamental truths about God which are so important that every person, young or old, well-educated or uneducated, rich or poor, weak or strong, should know. Included would be such things as the fact that there's only one true God who's perfectly holy and just, the creator of the world, the divine and righteous judge of every person, and the God of mercy, forgiveness, and love. Everyone should also know that God sent His only begotten Son into the world to give His life as an atonement for our sin and to give us the joy and hope of eternal life with Him in glory. Some helpful scripture verses would include such passages as John 4, verse 24, 1 Timothy 6, 15 and 16, Exodus 34, 6 and 7, and John 3, 16, passages that have all been quoted in earlier presentations. The primary purpose of asking this particular question, if you had 20 minutes to talk about God, what would you say? The primary purpose of asking is to help you focus on some basic truths that you should be able to present to any person at any time without hesitation and with strong biblical support. So my encouragement is, don't just watch this video and say, okay, I'm done with that. I'm done with that lesson. Now on to the next one. Yeah, there's an element of that, but spend some time thinking about God, adoring Him, and thinking about what are the key things that I would want to tell somebody else if I had only a short time to speak of Him. That helps you to sort out what you find most important about God and what God has declared to be most important about Himself when He speaks to us in the Bible. Question 10. What are some of the truths about God which are most important to you personally? Just think about this. Meditate on God's awesome reality and explore what truths of God have stirred your heart.